Chapter 6, if you want to go ahead and find your place. But how many of you have read the latest copy of The Sword of the Lord? Anybody? Just hit and miss. I want to read a couple things out of there. One of them is called, it just says, Feds arrest Idaho teen for violent plot to attack churches for ISIS. This is America. This just happened in America. Now listen to this. Federal authorities have arrested an Idaho teenager for allegedly plotting to massacre Christian churchgoers in the name of Islamic State terrorists. An 18-year-old was taken into custody on April the 6th after an FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force investigation a day before he planned to carry out a truly horrific and violent plot to attack churches on behalf of ISIS. Think about that. That's America. That's the land of the brave and the free. This is the land that this happened in. Who would have ever dreamed something like this would happen in America? Who would have ever dreamed that 9/11 would have happened in America? Goes on to say that an investigator for the FBI wrote, his attack plan involved using flame-covered weapons, explosives, knives, a machete, a pipe, and ultimately firearms. His plan grew more precise as he eventually identified the specific church and date on which he planned to attack. The editor's comments was, thankfully, they nailed this guy before he carried out his plan. It's a reminder to all of our churches to take precautions and have a game plan for dealing with potential perpetrators. Folks, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Our nation is in a mess. We are in a mess. And there's another one on another page of the same Sword of the Lord. It says, Jewish students urged to flee Columbia University. Jewish students are urged to flee Columbia University. It says Jewish students are being urged to pack their bags and flee Columbia University after administrators refused to shut down a dangerous pro-Hamas mob. From the river to the sea, Palestine is Arab, is their chant. Well, I hate to bust their bubble. God gave that to Israel, and they're not going to get it. God will see to that. It says, this is what they're saying, there is no God but Allah, and the martyr is Allah's beloved. Pro-Hamas students are also calling for their Jewish classmates to be the next victims of the terrorists. What has happened to America? What happened to our nation? Where did we go wrong? We messed up, folks. This is on our hands. It's on our heads. Hundreds of Jew-hating activists have laid siege to the Ivy League school, and many have directed threats toward Jewish students and faculty. The university is turning a blind eye to the ethnic cleansing of Jews from the campus. One Jew-hater was seen holding a sign reading, Al-Khazam's next targets, pointing toward a group of Jewish students who were singing while waving the Israeli flag. When I read that, I had to ask myself, are we one nation under God? No, we're not. We're not. That broke my heart. And like we talked in Sunday school this morning, God told Abraham, Abraham was the friend of God. These people are not the friend of God. Abraham was considered the friend of God. Why? Because he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake. And God made a promise to Abraham, and that promise to Abraham was certainly this, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. Palestine has been cursed by God Almighty. And he's not going to tolerate what's going on over there. He's not going to tolerate it. If you found your place in Joshua chapter 5, if you would please stand with me as I read part of this. I'm just going to read verses 13 through verse 15. Joshua 5, 13 through 15. The Bible reads, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with the sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, With what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful, Almighty God, that you give us the privilege to bow our heads before your throne of grace. Lord, we lift up before you, Father, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. Father, they are in need of your protection, and we don't have to ask for it because you promised it, Father, to your friend Abraham. Lord, may we be counted with Abraham as the friend of God this morning. As we look into the Word of God, may it change us. May it draw us close to you. Teach us to follow you according to your precious word, we ask in Christ's holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you go on and you read more about this story down into Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, which continues to read a little bit about, more about what went on there and what happened there at the walls of Jericho. But I wanted to bring this point this morning because, you know, what a day to live in. Think about it. We live in a world that is so black right now and so dark, it don't take much to light a little bit of a flame and let the world see that Jesus is still alive. What are you doing? What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing to make a difference in this wicked world that we live in? Look at America, the United States of America, and what kind of condition that it's in right now. We have got to make sure that this spiritual battle is not fought alone that's going on out there in this world. We're part of the army of God, like I said last week. We are in the army of God. And if we're not standing up as part of the army of God and doing our part, then shame on us. Shame on me as a pastor if I don't get up here and give you fair warning on what's going on in the United States of America. And not just in the United States of America, but across the globe that we live in. We've got a responsibility as Christians. But you know, as I thought about this, and I read this story about Joshua, I went on down into chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and then I went on down and I skipped down to verse 15, and we're at 15 and 16, and then when I went on down to verse 20, and I read verse 20 of Joshua chapter 6, which said, "So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell flat." That wall at Jericho fell flat. I want us to understand something today. The battle that's going on in this world right now, it's not our battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to God. But you know what? We're part of that battle because we're in the army of God, because God saved our soul. And when God saved you, He didn't save you to sit in a warm church on a comfortable pew and do absolutely nothing. You've got a responsibility, and that responsibility is to get the Word of God out there as much as you can. But we have to acknowledge our commander-in-chief as first thing. Chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 very clearly tells us that the captain or the commander-in-chief of God's army, and I believe that that person that was standing there, because of the way that Joshua was told to loose the shoe off of his foot, because he was standing in the presence, I believe, of Jesus Christ himself. That was no angel. That was Jesus Christ. He's the commander of the army. And that was Jesus. Can you imagine that? Picture that in your mind. Joshua standing outside the wall of Jericho, and he sees a man standing over to the side, and he's got his sword drawn out. What is the sword of the Lord, folks? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And Joshua had that sword drawn out. Jesus had that sword drawn out. And Joshua walks up to him and said, "Are you for us?" He's kind of like, "Are you friend or foe?" And what did Jesus say to him very clearly? And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I come." And what did Joshua do? And this is where I think we fall short, folks. Joshua fell down very clearly. It says, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth. When was the last time you fell on your face prostrate before God Almighty and asked Him to bless our nation? This battle is not ours, folks. It belongs to the Lord. You think we're going to lose this battle? I don't care how ugly it gets out there. It does not matter. We've got to recognize the fact that our commander-in-chief is in charge. Jesus is the one who's in charge. Joshua is looking over the city of Jericho, probably trying to come up with some kind of a strategy. Okay, how are we going to take this city? How are we going to destroy this city? How are we going to take it over? Because it was part of what God had promised to Abraham, the friend of God. God promised this land to them. Jesus is that commander-in-chief. This is the Lord's battle. It's not between Israel and Jericho. Right now, the battle going on over there in the Middle East right now between Israel and the Palestinians or Hamas, whatever you call them, that's not their battle. That is God's battle. That's nothing more than a spiritual battle that's going on out there right now over there, and it's hitting America. I never dreamed that I would ever see the day in America when I would read things like I just read to you, where you got students taking over colleges. Well, thank God for some of our governors. If you read anything about the governor down in Florida, you know what they're doing to those people that try to stand up for Hamas? They're sending them home. He's kicking them out of the schools. He's not putting up with it. We need more leaders like that man right there, because he's looking at these students who are standing up chanting for Palestine. Give it to Palestine. No, that land belongs to Jesus Christ. It was given to God's people. It's their land. He promised it to them. He told Abraham very clearly, I will give you this land. Folks, the battle's not ours. It's not yours. It's not mine. But I'm telling you, what a day to be alive. What a day to be alive, to see in the latter days. And I believe we're not just living in the latter days. I think these are the last days. I really believe that with all of my heart. I believe I'll live long enough to see Jesus step out on that cloud in the eastern sky and call his children home, and I will go forever to be with my Lord in the air, and that's where I'm going to be. And if you're not ready for that, then, you know, you better get right today. You better make it happen today. This is the Lord's battle. It's between Israel. It's between Jericho at the point we're looking at here. It's not their battle, but the battle belongs to Jehovah God and the false gods of Jericho. That's what it's about. This is a spiritual battle that we're seeing going on in our world today. It's not a political battle. It's not a political battle. It's a battle between God and the devil and the demons of this world and God's army. But you know what? We're part of that army. If you're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're part of the body of Christ, which makes you a soldier in the army of God. And if you're not taking up the sword of God, of the sword of the Lord as God commands us to do, and sharing it with people, trying to get as many people that you can into the family of God, then shame on you. Shame on you. If you're not picking up some of the John and Romans back there, some of the tracts back there, and passing those out, shame on you. And shame on me if I'm not doing the same thing. What kind of example am I setting if I don't do that? Not a very good one. We got to learn to stop, to listen, and to learn what God has to say. Listen to God's plan. Don't listen to your plan. It's God's plan that we got to pay attention to. We can only be victorious in our spiritual battles in life. What kind of battle do you have in your own life, as a matter of fact? You think you're going through a rough time? It's not your battle. It's God's battle. It's the Lord's battle. If you look at the battles that you face on a day-to-day basis, whether something on the job, whether something in school, no matter what it may be in your personal life, your family life, the battle is not yours. Give it to the Lord. Let God take care of it. It's the Lord's battle. And stand strong behind God Almighty. Acknowledge Jesus as the commander-in-chief and follow His plans and His strategies, not your own. Don't make your own decisions. Take them to the Lord. That's the first thing you should do. I heard Brother Joe say it multiple times when I sat in his Sunday school class here on Sunday mornings. That he would say very clearly, he had people that would always say, well, the last thing I could do, couldn't do anything else, so I thought I better pray about it. Don't wait till that should be the first thing you do. The first thing you do. Get on your knees before God Almighty. You're worried about what's going on in America? Then when's the last time you came to the altar and knelt down up here and gave your heart to God and said, God, help us? Cry out to the commander-in-chief. Ask God to get us through this mess we're in. I don't think God's done with America quite yet. We got a job to do, folks. First thing we need to do is evangelize the area in which we live. We've got to get the gospel out to Proctorville. We've got to get it out to Huntington, all around us. Folks, we can't stop getting it out there. We have to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the commander-in-chief and say that the battle belongs to him. He's the one that can fix all of this. We can't do anything about it other than pray and do what God commands us to do, which is to go ye. Go ye. You heard what the brother said a minute ago? The Gideons, they don't have a whole lot of, they have a lot of guys right now, but they need more. Stand up. Stand in the gap with somebody. Say, enough is enough. I'm going to do my part. And we've also got to accept the victory. In chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, if you look there in Joshua, it says, now Joshua was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. I'm sorry, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in. Nobody went out and nobody went in. That was the strategy of Jericho. What was their strategy? I'm going to hide. Well, folks, I'm telling you right now, You take the word of God and you go out into this ugly world that we live in and you let the devil know that you're going to stand for what's right and you're going to stand up with your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. You know what the devil's going to do? You know what his demons are going to do? They're going to hide. They don't want nothing to do with the word of God. They're going to do everything to stop you if they can, but you can't let them win because you got to accept the victory. God had already promised victory to Joshua here. Through the commander-in-chief. He made it very clear that the victory was theirs. We also have been given the same victory through Jesus Christ. He's our victor, and he's already paid the price, and he's already set down our security in heaven. We have to accept that victory by faith. Satan is a defeated foe. He's a defeated enemy. I don't care what he tries to do. He cannot win. It's a losing battle for him. He will not win this battle. No matter what battle you're going through in your own personal life, God's not done with you yet. And you know what? The devil's not done yet either. He's a very strong foe. Don't you think for one minute you can go up against him on your own. You cannot do it. He will defeat you every chance he gets. Every time God tells you, you better do this, and you don't do it, who won? The devil won. Thank God, brother, you listened to the Lord when he told you to come here today. Grateful for that. Notice the defense posture of Jericho in chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in. This was a demonstration of nothing more than their fear. You know why? You know why there's so much hatred for Israel? You know why there's so much hatred for Christianity in America today? Because they're afraid of us. They are. The devil's afraid of us, and he's going to do everything in his power to defeat us. And if we let him win, and we're the losers, folks. And you know what? I'm not going to be a loser. I'm not going to be a loser. I'm going to stand up with every ounce of breath that I have in me. By the grace of God only, I will stand up and I will say, this is my country. This is my nation. You all saw the video last week, right? We want America back. If you don't want America back, go live over in the Middle East somewhere. That's what the governor down in Florida told some of the students down there. You don't want to be here, then you want to support that nation, then you go over there and live. Matter of fact, he's threatened to buy them tickets and send some of them over there to live in the Middle East. Drop them off right there in the middle of Hamas and see how much they love them then. Think about what they did to the nation of Israel, folks, on October the 7th. Think about what they did. This battle is not ours. This battle belongs to God. And the demonstration of their fear is the same thing that we see. The reason they chant like they do, the reason they try their best to tear down our belief in the Word of God. I mean, it's not just what's going on with Israel. It's not just what's going on with Hamas. It's also what's going on all around us. Think about the LGBTQ bunch of garbage. That is the most ungodly movement that this world has seen since I've been alive. That is disgusting. And you know what? They hate us. They hate us. Remember their chant? Remember the chant that they have going around? We're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children. That was their chant. They're in some of the school systems, folks. Scares me to death of what my grandchildren are going to see someday. I keep trying to warn my boys. Pay attention. Pay attention to what they're teaching. Go to your school once in a while. Find out what's going on. I know we got a sister here that works in the public school system, and she said that they still have some strong Christians in the school system. Well, praise God, we better be praying for them. We better be praying for them because they need all the strength they can get if they're going to stand for what's right, if they're going to stand on the Word of God. When was the last time they let a preacher come into the school and teach the kids? Guarantee you, if I went and the brother shared with us this morning in Sunday school, I said something about were they able to get the Bibles into the school system? They haven't done it for years. They won't let them in, but they can go to a foreign country and let the Gideons bring their Bibles in there. Matter of fact, they use it as a textbook in some of the countries. Am I right, brother? Think about that. We have got to learn to access the power of God, and the only way to access God's power, folks, is through obedience. I think a lot of the reason that this world is in the shape that it's in, the reason America is in the shape that it's in, is because of the lack of obedience of Christians that there are in this world today. If you look carefully in chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, and it came to pass on the seventh day. Well, let's go back up to verses 1 through 5. I want to share this with you. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. In other words, I've given this to you. This battle belongs to me and I'm giving this to you. You already won this battle before it starts. And go listen to what it says. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do for 6 days. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And it goes on in verse 4, it says, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass. Listen to this. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout and with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Fall down flat. Think about that. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before. That was the battle plan that God gave Joshua. He said, here's your plan. You do this. Every day you walk around that, you walk around there one time a day. You walk around them walls and those, and you blow those trumpets. And then on that 7th day when you go around, he give them even more orders. That 7th, they go around 7 times on the 7th day. And they shout with a loud shout. And when they did, folks, look what happened down in verse 15. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up. They rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And then jump down to verse 20. Jump down to verse 20. So the people shouted with the when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Think about that. All they had to do was obey God's command. What are you disobeying? What's God ask you to do that you're not doing? How's God working with you right now? What's God telling you you need to do? Are you listening to his commands? Are you being obedient to the command of God? Obedience is the sign of whether our worship, believe it or not, is authentic or not. You want to have authentic worship? When God calls you, get up here. When God is, when the Holy Spirit's pricking at your heart, telling you you better be doing something, get it done. Don't run from it. Don't hide from it. Do what God's telling you to do. Obedience. Obedience is the word that's fallen out of favor. We live in a world of total disobedience. Think about some of the ways some of the Christians live. When you walk out into the world, can you pick a Christian out in a crowd? Can you be picked out in a crowd? Do you look like a Christian? Do you act like a Christian? Do you walk like a Christian? Do you talk like a Christian? Or do you go along with the rest of the world and listen to what they say? Do you listen to those dirty jokes every now and then that they try to tell you? Do you stand around and listen around the water cooler at all their cuss words? Do you listen to them when they take Jesus Christ's name and use it like a cuss word? Folks, don't do that. Stand up. Be a soldier for the Lord. The battle's not yours. It belongs to God. All he's asking for is us to be obedient. And we've got to learn to acquire a different spirit than the world has. I mean, think about the world's way. Look how they're doing right now. They're going against these Jewish kids in these colleges, calling them out, taking over the college. And they're shouting at them, they're the next terrorists. They're the next ones on our terrorist list. We're going to kill them. Consider some teachings of Jesus. Think about this. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Think about that. These are Jesus' commands. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. When people hate you, do good to them. You know, that's a hard thing. That's a hard pill to swallow. That's a very hard pill to swallow. It is. It's extremely hard. But that's what Jesus says. Look at it. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Matthew 5, 39. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek. What's it say? Turn him the other also, if it's for the cause of Christ. That's a hard pill to swallow, is it not? That's a hard thing to do. When someone persecutes you for the cause of Christ, what do you do? What did Jesus do? What did he do for you? He stood shameless before his accusers. What did he do for you? Matthew chapter 5, 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. 2 miles. That means 2 miles. Don't just go 1 mile. Go 2 miles. What a day to be alive, folks. If someone hates you, give them a gospel tract. Give them a gospel tract. Tell them you'll pray for them. Tell them you'll pray for them. Mark 5:10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Boy, that's an odd one, isn't it? How many of us are trying to lay up treasures on this earth? Oh, I got to have the best house, the nicest car. I got to have the best food in the house. That's not what the Bible teaches. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He says clearly, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. In Matthew 20:27, he says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Well, it's just opposite of human thinking, isn't it? That's not how humans think. First thing we want to do is grab back at them, fight back at them. Matthew 16:25 says, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Now, that's an oxymoron. That don't make sense to the world. But, buddy, it does to me. It does to me, and it should to you as well. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall what? Shall find it. Shall find it. So what is your Jericho or your Jerichos in your life? How many Jerichos you got in your life? Think about the walls that you have around you right now that you're struggling with in your life. It's not just about America, folks. It's individuals. We all have issues that we struggle with. We all have problems that we fight with. I mean, is your Jericho doubt? Is it taking God at his word? Is it a lack of faith? Is it an unforgiving spirit? You having problems forgiving somebody? Is it resentment or bitterness? Do you hold bitterness in your heart against someone? Is it an illness? I think of Brother Joe often. That's his Jericho. That's his Jericho. What's your Jericho? Is it the loss of a loved one, an addiction to something, a spouse or a child, conflicting emotions that you may have? Are you letting God conquer your Jerichos for you? Are you trying to do it on your own? Are you trying to fix things on your own? Jericho is a model of victory, and we have to learn to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the commander-in-chief of our life. And if we don't do that, then we're not even accepting the victory that we're promised. We're promised a victory through Jesus Christ. We have to learn to acknowledge that Jesus is the commander-in-chief. We have to accept the victory even before it's ours. You know, I'm trying to, on Wednesday nights, we're going through Hebrews chapter 11, and I just started an introduction this past Wednesday. I didn't even get halfway through my introduction on faith and the different types of faith. And folks, it's going to take me a long time. I'm not going to, those of you who come on Wednesday nights, plan on a long time, because it's going to be a long it's going to be a long road to hoe through one chapter, because we're going to look at the champions of faith in the Bible, because it's important. And you got to accept the victory like it's already yours, folks. Learn to do that. Take it to God and leave it there. You got to access the power of God by being obedient to His will. Listen to God when He tells you to do something. And then you got to acquire the Holy Spirit of God within you by daily, folks, surrendering to the Holy Spirit of God. And just say, just let Him work in your life. Remember that your battles belong to God. They're not yours. They're not yours. And I want to close with this. God's will for all of our lives is found in a passage of Scripture. We haven't got there yet. We've been going through the book of Ephesians since September. But it's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 12, which says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You can't do it on your own, folks. You can't do it without the armor of God. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Think about that. Our battle is not flesh and blood. I don't care what's going on in this world. That is not what you think it is. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's very clear. He says, but it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And folks, they are doing their best to destroy you. What are you going to do? Are you going to be obedient to the Word of God? Are you going to listen to what God has to say? Are you going to claim the victory over your battles through Jesus Christ, the Commander-in-Chief, or is He your Commander-in-Chief? If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ in your life today, then Jesus Christ is not your Commander-in-Chief. The devil is. If you're not for Him, you're against Him, folks. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't leave this building without Him. How do you fight your battles alone? You can't do it. It can't be done. It cannot be done. Open your hymn books, if you would, please, to page 253.